guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But hold your calls for a few minutes. We're getting on the line right now, Craig Roberts, and Craig is a retired lieutenant colonel in the military. He worked for many years as a police officer in Oklahoma. In fact, he worked on the Oklahoma City bombing with the FBI. He's written a number of books. Certainly the books we carry by Craig Roberts are The Medusa File, A Doorway to Hell, The Kill Zone, the story of what happened there at in Dallas, November of 1963, the story of the dead witnesses, and really it's an incredible story, but I think certainly my favorite book is Medusa File, because Medusa File, it gives you the background of really what has transpired, and certainly gives you the background of Operation Paperclip, the background of the downing of TWA 800. It gives you the background of the so many of the terrorist actions that occurred right here in the United States. And the trouble was that the American people were never allowed to hear about them. And that's really one of the real problems that we have, is that there have been terrorist attacks over this last decade in the United States, but they were constantly concealed by the our federal government, because, you see, they were waiting until such time as we were going to have the attack on the World Trade Center. Well, we're going to get Craig with us in just a moment here, and I'm going to ask if our producer will go ahead and just screen Craig over here so we can talk to him right now, and we'll be with him in just a moment here. There we go. Craig, are you back on the line? No, we're going to have to get Craig back on. I have to apologize. We're doing something just a little differently today, and we're changing the structure of this program. As you know, we usually have the news the first few minutes. So I'm going to ask if our producer will get Craig back on the line. Will you get Craig back on the line for us? And then we'll go from there, and we're looking forward to having a fascinating program, but we may have just a few little glitches here and there, as for the first time, we're going to be preparing, actually, to get this program syndicated across America. So I'm going to ask Kyle, our producer, to call Craig back once more, and let's get him on the line so we can have him here with us. All right, Kyle, would you mind getting Craig on the line for us, please? Well, of course, Craig is going to be talking today about the terrorists who are coming into this country. And what most people don't understand is that our borders are completely open. The terrorists are being allowed to come in over the border, and nothing at all is being done to stop them, of course, to go ahead and protect the American people. We talk about a war on terrorism, but are we really having a war on terrorism, or is this a war on the American people? And so we certainly want you to understand that the war on terrorism is being used to increase government control, to pass laws that really strike at the very heart of our constitutional system. And until the American people understand that we really were intent upon doing something about the terrorists in this country, would seal our borders, and we're not, why they would understand that so much of what we're seeing today is simply symbolism over substance. It's all smoke and mirrors. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when we have to once again remind you that Radio Liberty comes to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and we're certainly pleased to have you with us listening today as we bring you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine just what the future will bring. Well, certainly we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please, hold your calls, because we have this, hopefully very, very shortly, on the line, our good friend Craig Roberts. And we're going to be talking about what's going on, his take on what's happening across America. And hopefully we'll have Colonel Roberts with us in just a moment. Certainly one of my favorite guests, and he's done so many wonderful, wonderful programs with us, going into the background of what really happened in Vietnam, what really happened at the time of the Oklahoma City bombing, what really happened at the downing of TWA 800. And all of these issues have been tragically not represented properly to the American people. There's no question that there is an Islamic connection to the bombing of the Oklahoma City building back in April of 1995, and that was concealed from the American people. There's no question in my mind that the government had advanced knowledge of that attack and did absolutely nothing about it. How can I say that? Well, there was a fellow named Kerry Jenkins, I believe it was, Kerry Kagan, who had told the FBI that he had actually been employed to bring some of the explosives into this country. And the government, of course, had even given a letter of immunity so he couldn't be sued for his involvement with this terrorist attack. And yet that story was totally suppressed from the American people. But even more striking was the story of what happened with Carol Howe. And Carol Howe had actually infiltrated Elohim City at the behest of the BATF and had learned there that there was going to be an attack on the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. And she had told the government that. But, of course, after the attack and after all the people were killed, they couldn't let the American people know. They couldn't let that information out during the trial of Timothy McVeigh. So they arranged to have Carol Howe indicted as a terrorist. They arranged to have her tried as a terrorist and to try to put her in prison for the rest of her life or for many, many years, simply to conceal the truth from the American people. Hi, Craig. How are you doing?
Oh, well, I apologize for the technical difficulties.
Okay, we'll be right back here with you in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest is Craig, and we had all sorts of technical difficulties. Don't feel bad about it. Anyway, Craig, we were talking about the Oklahoma City bombing and the government cover-up on that, which of course was designed to keep the American people from realizing the Islamic terrorist influence here in 1995. It was here in 1995. It had been here for many years. That's why somebody in government, probably the CIA, suppressed that wonderful video that was put out by Stephen Emerson in 1994. They didn't want the American people to know about the Islamic threat at that time. Now, of course, they're making a big issue of it. So why don't you pick up the story from there?
Well, actually, we can go back to 1993 in the World Trade Center bombing, and there were certain key events happening all over the place. Besides the Hamas meetings that were occurring that Emerson got interested in when he went to Oklahoma City back in around 93. We also had events transpiring in the Philippines with Ramzi Yosef. We had Abu Sayyaf involved, which was the Islamic terrorist group in the southern Philippines that is connected to a guy named of Muhammad Wali Khan and Ramzi Yosef and Edwin Angeles and two or three others. Well, Muhammad Wali Khan is like Osama bin Laden's left-hand man. Osama bin Laden was involved in a lot of these things back in 1993, but because the Clinton administration didn't want to recognize Islamic terrorism because it might mess up things on their peace talks in the Mideast or for whatever reason that we never could fathom at the time, these things kind of went below the radar screen of the American media. And then by 1995, this is after the World Trade Center bombing, and we had the Oklahoma City bombing, and we know that McVeigh and Nichols and weren't in it by themselves. We know who John Doe 2 was. We know that there were 12 Iraqi terrorists involved who worked for a Palestinian PLO guy who lived in Oklahoma City and managed real estate companies. All the money that he made in real estate, he took over to Jerusalem and gave to the PLO. They all worked for him, and they were part of a bunch of Iraqi POWs that we had captured during the Gulf War. Over 3,500 of them that we brought over here secretly and illegally through Madeleine Albright's State Department. They came to Carlisle Barracks, Pennsylvania, and were settled all over the place in houses with 10 and 12 men in them. And immediately they formed terrorist cells, and one of those surfaced in Oklahoma City in 1995. This is all, you know, you can look this stuff up down at the library. I'm not making this up, you know. But the American media didn't want to make an issue out of it, or they ignored it, even though it was brought to their attention. So we had the Oklahoma City bombing, and when we started investigating that, the FBI was handcuffed and was basically told by Washington under Janet Reno and Louis Freeh that you've got McVeigh and you've got Nichols, and that's all you're going to get. Forget it. Forget looking for anybody else. Your John Doe 2 is a guy named Todd Bunning, who was in the Ryder rental truck place the day before McVeigh. Period. End of story.
Now, you actually worked on this, though. You were actually initially asked by the FBI to be involved. And then, of course, when you begin getting, who was really behind this and who was working with McVeigh, weren't you more or less ignored?
Well, it was more than that, because I was turning up all kinds of information and going back to my meetings with the FBI, and they were telling me that the information basically was no good, even though I knew it was. And I was getting things, dozens and dozens of good, solid leads that a normal police department in a normal investigation would have followed up every one of them, and the FBI chose to totally ignore them. And then the FBI was compartmentalized in itself, because they brought a bunch of people from out of state in with a big black semi-truck, and they parked it down in Oklahoma City, and they took over the entire investigation. And one of the first things they did is they destroyed the building, hauled it off, and buried it, and put armed guards on it, built a fence around the debris site.
Well, that was because it was so obvious, looking at some of those pillars that supported the building, that they'd been cut by some sort of cutting charges. They weren't, of course, even damaged, as you would expect if the force had come from without. They were actually, and you could actually look at those beams, you could see where they'd been cut across by explosives.
Well, and plus, all the glass was blown out from the building, not into the building. The biggest damage to the building was done in the cut at the very back that went down two subfloors through the underground parkade. They call that the pit. When we talked about the pit here, we weren't talking about that little bitty crater out front that was covered up by 8 sheets of plywood. We're talking about a big, tremendous hole inside the building that went downwards. There's all kinds of things that were just weren't right about this case, and yet we weren't able to pursue it because Washington said it's our case and we're not going to let you go there. And if you come up with stuff, we're going to ignore it anyway. we had a drug link to this thing. We had Mexican people involved that were involved in the cocaine running during Iran-Contra that were linked to it, and then we've got the Arabs, Osama bin Laden's group, Al Qaeda. We found that out later when we started tracking down what Nichols was doing on all those trips he made to the Philippines. Back in 1993, 1994, and into 1995, he'd gone several trips to the Philippines, and one of them he married a Filipino girl and brought her back, but he kept going over there. Now, here's a guy that didn't have a job, allegedly didn't have any money, and he had over $100,000 in expenses going back and forth to the Philippines. Somebody was paying the bills. Then later we find out from the Philippine Intelligence Service that Stephen Jones actually got documentation from these guys that Nichols met with a guy named Edwin Angeles, Muhammad Wali Khan, and two or three others, and once even said Ramzi Yousef. Now, I don't know, you know, I haven't seen that in writing yet, which were, these guys were part of Abu Sayyaf, and they were tied directly to Al-Qaeda. And yet, to this day, we can show that Iraq had a definite connection to the Oklahoma City bombing. We can show that Al-Qaeda had a definite connection to the Oklahoma City bombing. And we have a new administration that should take this ball and run with it right now. They should have gone to Congress a long time ago and said, look, we've got new information that shows that Al-Qaeda not only hit the World Trade Center, but they also blew up the Oklahoma City deal. And, why didn't they do that? You know, that's the big question. And then the other question, of course, is, if Nichols and McVeigh were all alone, then show us the videotapes.
In other words, these were the videotapes that were shot in front of the Murrah building on the morning of the attack, which the government refuses to reveal in the name of national security. Now, is it that they don't want Timothy McVeigh to know who got out of the truck with him? They don't want Terry Nichols to know? Or is it they don't want the American people to know that there was a John Doe 2 and probably several others involved in this bombing? And, of course, they were tied into this whole Islamic terrorist movement. In fact, in your book, Medusa File, which was written long before the September 11th bombing, you mention a man named bin Laden. Now, who is he?
Well,
is that Osama bin Laden?
That was Mohammed Osama bin Laden.
Okay.
And I think it was in note 203 or 207, one of those. And if you look that up, it talks about three events that were going to occur that had been planned. It names all of the people who were there, all of the Islamic terrorists who were there. And one of them was involved in Pan Am 103, a blowing at Pan Am 103. One of them was an attack on an American embassy, and the other one was Mohammed Osama bin Laden. And that was back in, about 1998 or so.
That's when you wrote your book, and that's the Medusa File. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you're skeptical, get this book and see what Craig was talking about in 1998. But, of course, our government knew all these things, but they would not let the American people know this. Think how embarrassing it would be, to realize that they knew that Osama bin Laden had been working with the people who were involved with blowing up the Oklahoma City Murrah building, and that fact was suppressed from the American people.
And then we come forward from Oklahoma City, and we see all of the things that have happened since then, and today, right now, we're in a very critical situation. This country is in one of its most precarious times in history for the simple fact that we spent 8 years in the Clinton administration watching the military literally be destroyed. The troop numbers were decreased. We lost some of our most important and best key NCOs and officers who just refused to serve under the Clintons and retired or quit and to go do something else. We lost equipment. Equipment became into disrepair. We lost several military bases that Hillary Clinton was involved herself in closing. This is the military that the Clintons loathed, according to Chelsea. Our fighter squadrons went from like 18 airplanes down to 15 airplanes. We had, we've got less tanks than we had before, and they're worn out. We haven't had any replacements, and we're running short on spare parts, and sometimes, half of the tanks are kept running by cannibalizing the other half. And this is the stuff that we're sending over right now to get ready to go into Iraq with. We're calling because our people are absolutely worn out from deploying all over the place over and over again overseas. Our ships, they need overhaul. They need to go to dry dock. They need a lot of work on them. They're kept at sea all the time, and those guys are gone away from their families. So the regular military is pretty well burnt out, and they're in places like Macedonia, Kosovo, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Colombia, Afghanistan, South Korea, and now we're deploying them to Kuwait and Turkey. I want to know where all these other alleged UN countries are in these deals. This Macedonia, Kosovo, Bosnia thing should have been over a long time ago, and Europeans should have taken that over. But the American taxpayer is doing all of this. Now, we take it to the next logical strategic step, and that is when the active duty is all overseas, and now they're calling up the reserves and the National Guard and putting them on active duty, either here or abroad. Actually, we've got people being sent overseas. Who's home watching the chickens? Who's guarding our borders?
And, of course, I think this is really a very, very serious question. And, of course, the big problem is, as far as I can see it, is that America has troops, at least according to Ron Paul, in almost 140 nations throughout the world, maybe just maybe 50 or 100 troops in some of these countries maintaining the dictators in power. But, I think we should be seriously concerned what the real agenda of our leaders is. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, I heard the music.
We got about 20 seconds. So, anyway, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Craig Roberts, talking about what's going on in America today. This is a fascinating four-tape set. Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something you might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide.
It's very
important
that
you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning system. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure allicin garlic extract? You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000. Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamex. Alamex provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamex? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down and you feel like you need more energy, we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to get some Be Alive Royal Jelly. It's really a wonderful product. It's made from the beehive. It's a very, very special type of food. There's not very much of it in the hive, because the only person who eats it is the queen bee, and yet that queen bee grows big and strong and lives for 6 years, and the rest of the poor old bees die off in about 6 weeks or so. The product basically has been found to give you more energy. And you can take it. You take it really over a matter of several months. It's not going to get you feeling better tomorrow when you take it. But if you do take it over a period of about 3 months, why, you should feel a great deal better. Call 866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500, and find out about the Be Alive Royal Jelly products. They're sold with a money-back guarantee, and if you're not completely happy with them, why, they'll refund your money. Again, the number to call, 866-233-7500. I think you'll be very happy that you try the product. I've used it for 8 to 10 years, as my wife, and we're both very happy. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we have with us, of course, Craig Roberts. We're talking about the background of the Oklahoma City bombing. So why don't you pick up the story there, Craig?
Well, basically, you know, what's happened since this investigation has lasted for years, and I'm still involved in, is that a lawsuit has been filed through the Judicial Watch in Washington, D.C., against the country of Iraq, the government of Iraq, for being involved in the Oklahoma City bombing, just like a lawsuit was filed on the World Trade Center attack against Osama bin Laden and whoever, Iraq, and whoever else was involved. And now the two have kind of come together in the sense that the chief investigator for the Oklahoma City bombing, Bob Bickle, is now on retainer for the World Trade Center people, because we're coming up with the same people over and over. We're crossing the same trails.
But isn't it interesting, Craig, the administration, the Bush administration, is doing everything they can to block these lawsuits, almost like they're protecting Osama bin Laden.
Well, it's, you know,
I should say Saddam Hussein in this instance.
Well, Saddam Hussein, and at the same time, bin Laden, you know, I can't imagine why. Here's a guy that's a 6-foot-2-inch Arab who's hiding someplace, can't be found by all of the, you know, king's horses and all of the king's men and the satellites and everything else we've got, when we've got predators that can go out there and pick out his leadership in the middle of the Sudan desert and hit him with a missile. You know, it's almost like they don't want to catch him yet, and makes me start thinking that, you know, your favorite saying, the best enemy that money can buy. You know, I was listening to a talk show last night, and somebody brought up the comparison between going in and getting Saddam Hussein and putting him in prison someplace, or going into a sovereign country to take down the leadership, et cetera, et cetera, you know, as being illegal. And then the talk show host came back and said, well, wait a minute, said, how can you consider that illegal, and so on and so forth. And the caller said, well, it's just like going after Noriega. You know, we went into Panama, we got Noriega, who's the head of a sovereign country, and we put him in one of our prisons under a law that, you know, for drug running. And both of them bantered back and forth, but what they were missing was the key element, and the key element was that was during Iran-Contra, and Noriega was a stop-off point for the Medellin and Cali cartels for all of the cocaine that was coming out of Colombia, was going to a Panamanian Air Force base, being unloaded by Panamanian troops, loaded onto American aircraft, and flown to Longapo Air Base in El Salvador, where it was then cross-loaded onto Southern Air Transport aircraft and flown into the United States through Mena, Arkansas, and Los Angeles. Of course, during all the time that this was going on, Clinton was governor of Arkansas, and this could not have gone on without his cooperation. And a lot of people have written books about it, talked about it. There's been whistleblowers come forward. And when you took it beyond that, during Iran-Contra, they chased the thing in Congress, in the Power Report. This is stuff that's official U.S. investigation documents, all the way up to a guy named George Herbert Walker Bush when he was vice president. Because Reagan didn't remember anything, if you remember the investigations that way. So here was Clinton was a middleman, here was Noriega was a middleman, but Noriega got greedy, and he decided to take more than he was supposed to, and we ended up going in and arresting him and bringing him here and putting him in prison, and no one's heard from him since. And my question, of course, is, if this isn't true, why can't anybody go interview him? Why can't investigative journalists go sit down and interview Manuel Noriega and let him spill his guts? Well, they're not going to let you get near the guy.
Well, of course, you remember that he kept trying during his trial to mention that he was working with the CIA, and they wouldn't let him talk about his association with the CIA or the CIA involvement with drugs.
Well, absolutely.
And of course, that, of course, is the most incredible thing. And, of course, this same sort of thing that Gary Webb had brought out in his articles when he was working with the San Jose Mercury. And, of course, it cost him his career as a journalist. Of course, he can't get a job any place today in journalism because he told the truth about the CIA involvement in drugs. And that's a frightening thing.
Well, you know, somebody brought this up the other day on O'Reilly, and he's No Spin Zone, and he turned around and he said, well, now you're going off into Never Never Land. You're in the Land of Oz. Say hi to Dorothy for me, because you're out of here. There's no way you can prove that. That didn't happen. And boy, he really got defensive of anybody bringing up the fact that there's anybody within our own government that's drug running. But if you go back to our own investigations in Congress, they had all kinds of evidence and names like Barry Seal and several other people that were CIA agents that were involved in this, which some of them came forward and said, yeah, I was working there, and this is what we did, and here, you know, there's videotapes of this stuff being loaded, and here's where we had the long-range fuel tanks installed in the C-123s that were flown by Southern Air Transport, and they told the whole story, and here's O'Reilly to this day saying it never happened.
Well, of course, this is just another example of one of the finest conservatives that money can buy, but of course, so many people think that he's really telling them the truth, and the tragedy is he's not there to tell the truth. Working for Rupert Murdoch, he is there to conceal the truth from the American people. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in
Russia in Siberia at the end of the Second World War. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
And this is Dr. Stan, and of course, if you haven't read The Medusa File, you really need to. And we carry Craig's book, Medusa File, Doorway to Hell. We carry Kill Zone. We carry The Lost of the Dead Witnesses. You need to get his books. You need to read them and study them. He has contributed greatly to our understanding of what's going on, and especially if you don't know about Operation Paperclip, where at the end of the Second World War, we brought many of the vicious Nazi criminals here to the United States and gave them plus jobs, and then the OSS helped many of the Nazi criminals to escape to South America. Why? Why would we do something like that? Because nothing is as it appears to be. And you must understand that there is a force within America. There's a lot of goodness in America. A lot of wonderful people work for the government. But there also are wicked and evil people. And there have been these two forces in America since the very inception of this society. And that's, of course, what I bring out in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And we hope that you'll want to call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and order Medusa File or Kill Zone or Doorway to Hell or The Dead Witnesses. But the Medusa File would be my recommendation. And then, of course, get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the Brotherhood of Darkness Special, which is a book. It is a video. It is an audio tape for $29.95. Give you a real understanding of what's going on behind the scenes, because you really can't understand why we are going to war in Iraq unless you understand that there is a Brotherhood of Darkness, there is an agenda. What is it about? It's about a world government, a new world order, and a new world religion. And believe me, it's coming very, very fast, and you better find out what's really going on behind the scenes. Remember our number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we truly are at war today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our special guest this afternoon is Craig Roberts. We're talking about the background of the Oklahoma City bombing. And, of course, you can't understand anything going on today unless you can understand Oklahoma and the fact that this has all been covered up. Now, if these things are true, why doesn't every American know it? Why? Because you've got Rush Limbaugh out there, and you've got O'Reilly, and you've got so many of the establishment-financed communicasters on television and on radio telling the people, you know, just what they want them to know. They want them to believe there's a fight between the Democrats and the Republicans. And the Republicans, of course, support traditional family values and decreased government and decreased spending. And those wicked Democrats support no family values, and they're pro-abortion and they're pro-homosexual. And of course, they're big spenders. And yet, if you heard the president speak last night, he's advocating more spending than Bill Clinton ever would have tried to spend. And, of course, when he talks about, the strong moral values, why has he appointed six homosexuals to key positions in his administration? You see, it's all perception. It's all rhetoric over reality, symbolism over substance. So pick up the story there, Craig.
Well, you know, my expertise is more outside the economic realm and more into the military realm, and something that's really been bothering me, that if we want to fast forward from Oklahoma City to 9/11, we have a situation where they're saying, well, we don't know how these guys got in without being detected, and they were here X number of months or years being trained to fly airplanes and do this and do that, and here's the things that they did. Well, we need more laws to stop this from ever happening again. And once we get these new laws in place, we'll be able to stop all of this nonsense. So They pass this Patriot Act. They pass this Homeland Defense Bill. They turn around and create this Homeland Defense Agency or administration.
Don't forget the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, where they can force you to be vaccinated. And in the case of health emergency, take your home, your money, your property, and your wife, and maybe your life, for that matter.
Well, what they've effectively done is they put all the little bits and pieces together to form one big machine that basically turns us into a totally controlled police state with basically no constitutional rights left. You know, if you just take into account what's going on at the airports right now, you've got we're being checked and searched every possible way to get on an airplane. Well, terrorists don't carry anything through magnetic gates anymore. If they want to put something on an airplane, they simply, you know, have one of the baggage handlers, whose last name ends in, you know, Fusani or something. He puts it on the airplane for them.
Right.
The cleaners that go on the airplanes, you know, they do background screening on all these people, and it basically is very shallow background screening. So the airplane thing is not a huge issue as far as that's concerned. And these people have other targets now than airplanes. That's behind them. That got our attention. Their targets now, that they've got these cells in the country, and they're reinforcing these cells all the time with people crossing the border, and they don't come in through the main airports. They don't, you know, these are Islamic terrorists that come across the Mexican border and the Canadian border, but mostly the Mexican border in the Southwest because it's virtually unguarded.
Didn't you say something like for $10,000 that you can get terrorists can get into this country?
They're paying right now $10,000 per head to these coyotes, these guys that smuggle illegals across the border to get into this country. The money is no object to them. They've got plenty of funding, and these coyotes, they don't care who these guys are or what they're up to. They'll bring them across for the money. And from then on, and of course, they've got forged papers. They've got safe houses to go to. The safe houses are already here thanks to the Clinton administration. They're all over the place. And I've talked to some of these police officers in some of these other cities, especially in the Southwest, such as Tucson and down by Fort Huachuca and of course, up in Phoenix, Albuquerque, and all of that. And they're running into these guys all the time to where you get three Mexicans and an Arab, you know, and they all seem to be traveling together for a certain distance. And then, of course, the Arab goes off and does his own thing, buys a car or whatever he's going to do, and he disappears. And what are we doing about it? We're not doing anything. Now, we got our military right now scattered all over the country. We've got National Guard unit being activated and sent overseas. We've got individual volunteers being accepted and also basically ordered to active duty depending on their MOS. And we've got retired personnel being contacted. You know, right after 9/11, I got an email from St. Louis asking me what assignment I wanted. And here I was, a retired lieutenant colonel, infantry branch with a secondary MOS and intelligence. And they gave me a choice of about 10 different places and said, where would you like to go? And then when I sent them my health record after having gone through cancer, they said, well, we'll put you on hold, and then that's where it ended. Otherwise, I would have probably been gone myself. Now, if they're dipping that deep in the well to send people overseas, who is going to cover the Southwest border? Well, there's no one left, and the Border Patrol can't do it by themselves. No matter how hard they try, there's not enough of them. And a lot of the Border Patrol people, stand by the way, I found out, quit the Border Patrol and transferred over to the Homeland Defense to make twice as much money. So that takes us back over to the Homeland Defense deal. Whose homeland are these guys supposed to be guarding now? Because they're sure not down on the Southwest border. But what they are doing is they're training various personnel around the country in different agencies to man roadblocks, checkpoints, and relocation camps.
Relocation camps? Are you saying that they are planning on forcibly relocating Americans?
It's in the executive orders that they can do that, and now what FEMA has done as of about 4 or 5 months ago is issued contracts to various real estate companies around the nation to find large tracts of land and buy these large tracts of land and begin putting, and they're going to contract out infrastructure construction. Now, infrastructure construction means sewer lines, water lines, all the stuff you've got to put in for utilities before you put any buildings on top. After that, I'm sure what they'll do is they're going to fence the places in, put in barracks or whatever, and these are the places they're going to move the populations of the cities should they be subject to forced relocation due to biological attack, nuclear attack, or whatever Homeland Defense or FEMA says. Now, people 10 years ago laughed at this. They said, you're crazy. It could never happen in this country. Go down to the library, look up the newspapers. All of the articles are there. It's already happening. Now we've got these checkpoints, and we've already pretty much done a mind control operation on the American public. They've got us to where we produce our papers, and we go through body searches and all this stuff to go to the airport. But it's for our own good. It's for our own security, even though the Arabs are never going to take another airplane, probably.
Okay.
Then they put up these roadblocks for sobriety checkpoints, drug checkpoints, and they're even asking if you have any firearms in your car. And the Supreme Court has already said that they can search vehicles to a certain degree without a warrant and without any probable cause. Now, I only retired 4 years ago, and the 26 and a half years I did, you had to have probable cause to stop a car. You had to have reasonable belief somebody had violated a criminal statute. And now they don't even do that. They put up a sign there. They pull the cars off the side of the road. They've got guys dressed in SWAT gear. And if you don't go along with it, they drag you out of the car and they take you to jail.
But, of course, Craig, the American people are going along with it because we have to be protected against those wicked terrorists. But nobody ever asked who financed Al-Qaeda, who financed the Taliban, who financed Osama bin Laden, and who financed the terrorists that came to America and destroyed the World Trade Center and attacked the Pentagon. 15 of the 19 came from Saudi Arabia. We know the Saudi Arabian people, the people in the government, were financing Al-Qaeda. And when, of course, they tried to file a lawsuit, once again, the administration stepped in to block that lawsuit because, of course, we didn't want anything to hurt our relationships with the people who would finance the terrorists that attacked America. Let's go to Troy, who's calling in from Colorado. Hi, Troy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. And do you have a question for Craig?
Yeah, this is a quick question. Do you know what percentage of the military is really out of this country?
Well, on active duty right now, I think we're probably at the 80% level. The stay-behinds right now are basically the people that run your basic training, the headquarters units, the logistical supply bases, the Army test stations, and so on. All of the combat personnel pretty much are over there, and those that aren't are what we call leaning forward in the foxhole right now, ready to move.
But don't you worry, Troy. Surely, if there are problems at home, they can always bring in troops from Mexico or Canada or maybe from China to maintain law and order here. So you don't have to worry. They'll take care of us.
Yes, that's what I'm concerned about.
Well, General Barry McGaffrey gave a lecture, the graduation speech, to the CASQ class at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, just a few years ago. And we're talking about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And at that time, he was the commander of SOCOM, and then later became Clinton's drug czar, and he's still up there someplace. And we see him on TV every once in a while. And my nephew, a captain with two combat tours in Somalia, was going through this class, and this is the predecessor to the Command and General Staff College that captains and majors go through now. And McGaffrey came in. They introduced him as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and immediately my nephew, who I educated very well, started taking notes. And he called me right afterwards, and he says, "You're not going to believe what this guy said. It went right over the heads of everybody else in the room." But Brian said, here's what McGaffrey said, that with a build down in our armed forces, I love that word, build down, with a build down in our armed forces since the fall of Russia, the alleged fall of Russia, should we be deployed overseas in two areas, in two front war, so to speak, we will have no one left at home to handle national emergencies. So at that time, should a national emergency occur, we will be calling upon foreign assets to police our streets.
And you know what a foreign asset is, don't you, Troy?
Yes, I do.
Okay, anything else you wanted to ask?
No, I was going to say thanks for what you guys do.
Okay, well, you need to help us get that information out and get copies of tapes like this or pull it down. This will be archived and make a copy and get it in other people's hands. Just ask him to listen and ask him, could this possibly be happening in America? And they are. You know, FEMA's going to put out, I think, $300 million for the plans for these relocation camps, and that was this month. And then, of course, these camps are to be constructed. They have about $4 billion to build these camps because they want to protect us from, of course, those wicked terrorists. Thanks so much. Okay, fine. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our Our guest is, of course, Craig Roberts, author of The Medusa File, and, of course, so much of the other material that we have here. Go ahead, Craig. Why don't you pick up the story from there? You were talking about the General McCaffrey giving the reassuring message that they would bring in foreign assets, and probably that would go right over people's head. They're talking about foreign troops, if you don't know what they're talking about, and they know what they're doing. And how would you, of course, create a situation where we didn't have American Army units? Why, they'd be off fighting for freedom overseas. But as, of course, as once was said, oftentimes when we go overseas to fight for freedom, we find that we've lost freedom here at home.
Well, you know, people, you know, I tell people this when I give seminars and lectures, and there's always somebody that stops me there and says, that could never happen in this country. Foreign troops would never be allowed to come over here and police us. And I said, well, it's already happened.
Right,
right after 9/11, you had Norwegian AWACS deployed over here where ours were overseas, working in Afghanistan. They came over here and flew, you know, flew for months. And now we've got North Korea is saying that they're going to launch missiles at us as soon as they can figure out how to build one. And, of course, working in intelligence where I did, we assumed that, you know, when Russia started selling off everything they had, one of the things they were doing was disarming their older nuclear missiles. They were taking them apart and laying them out in the fields for the satellites to see, and then they said they were destroying them. They would disappear out of the field. Well, we started assuming that what they were probably doing was selling them to rogue nations with China and of course, Iran and Saddam Hussein and North Korea being client states. So I would assume, you know, you always assume the worst in intelligence. You assume the guy's got the biggest axe on the block, and then you prepare for that, because if you don't assume that, you put your head in the sand, the next thing you know, you get hammered. So that stuff may be over there. Whether it is or not, they are just waiting for us to get committed in the Middle East with all of our assets so that they can go into South Korea. We've been watching this on the news, the demonstrations in South Korea. The people in North Korea are starving to death, but the army's not. It's ready to move.
But I think the one thing about that, Craig, is we have been giving massive food aid to North Korea. But it's not been going to the people. It's been going to the army so they wouldn't revolt against the dictator there. We've been supplying massive amounts of fuel oil. Not going to the people to keep them warm, but to keep the army comfortable.
Well, and fuel their trucks.
Right.
And then at the same time, we've got China, who's prepositioned all of its troops right on the Straits of Formosa, looking at Taiwan right now. And, you know, they've already told us that when they decide to move on Taiwan, if we interfere, they'll launch, you know, missiles on the West Coast. And do they have the technology? Well, the Clinton sold it to them. They allowed all of that technology to go over there, including nuclear stuff and plans and missile components to launch satellites and all this other stuff through L'Oreal and all the rest of that happened at that time. So do they have the stuff to do it? Yes, we've been monitoring their missile launches. We've been monitoring nuclear explosions at their test sites over there. So I don't know that it's an idle threat. Now, at the same time, as long as we're talking nuclear, let's jump over to Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. One of his lieutenants here recently told the entire world through the London newspapers that they had 7 warheads already in the United States in major cities, and that when they were ready, they would set off one every 2 or 3 days, followed by releases of biological weapons. Do they have biological weapons? It's probable. Do they have nuclear warheads? It's highly possible, because the Russians were selling anything they could to make money. These Russian scientists and military commanders who were out there in the middle of nowhere on their own, plus the various Warsaw Pact states that broke away, you know, from Chechnya on, that are Muslim. You know, you go to Uzbekistan and Chechnya and all of that, they're right on the border of Afghanistan. The Taliban could have bought this stuff. So could the Osama bin Laden could have bought this stuff and got it out of there. So could Pakistan. And just to give you an example, there's a story. I was talking to a Russian officer who immigrated to this country legally just to get away from there, and he said that his commander sold 2 of their tanks to villagers over there, and that the villagers were driving around as long as they had gas and playing with these tanks and shooting the cannon and everything else. and he sold it to them for, like, you know, I don't know, 50 barrels of wine or whatever it was, vodka they grew in that region, to take home with him. Just, you know, here's the tanks. I'm not going to stay here anymore. I'm going to the house. Give me, you know, this, this, and this, and we're good to go. So if they were selling the army for booze, then, you know, what are they doing for nuclear warheads and biological materials, smallpox, maybe, hemorrhagic fever, you know, anthrax, all the rest of it. There's like 30 different biological weapons that were developed by the Russians at BioPrepare It that parallel those that we developed at Fort Detrick. That stuff disappeared.
And I know this is one of the great tragedies. We've got Mark. Let's just get a quick question from him. Maybe we can take that, answer it when we get back. Mark, did you have a question?
Yes. What is the interest of the current government not to make the connection publicly to Iraq to Oklahoma bombing?
Well, okay. We'll try to get to that when we get back. In other words, why did the government cover it up? I'll tell you why. Because if they did, why, we would have had to do something about this whole Islamic movement in 1995. And, of course, they're following a script. Nothing was to happen for the year 2001. Okay?
There's another answer. I'll throw in after the break.
All right, fine. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention several of the other items that we have here at Radio Liberty, which, of course, we hope that you'll want to consider getting. And one of those, of course, is the Miracle 2 soap products. Now, we can't make any claims as to what it's going to do for you, but I will tell you that many of our listeners, many of the people who've gotten Miracle 2 soap products from us, really swear by them, and all we can do is suggest that you might want to try them. Some people say they've helped their rashes. Other people claim the neutralizer helps them as far as heartburn is concerned, and a great deal more economical than these expensive pills you're going to get. But all you can do is try them and see. It's just a very alkaline solution. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The Miracle 2 Health products consist of soap, moisturizing soap, a gel, a neutralizer, and, of course, a lotion, and they're all available. You can get them separately, or you can get a special discounted price by getting them together by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's the Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, if you have a child or a grandchild in a government school, we hope that many of you will seriously consider getting a Phonopoly set. And Phonopoly will allow them to learn to read phonetically and to spell phonetically and to pronounce words phonetically. It's played very much like Monopoly, most of these programs, to learn, teach children how to read phonetically, are $300 or $400. This is $139.95. It's 5 board games. It's 2 bonus games and 2 books. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and simply ask for Phonopoly. We've certainly sold an awful lot of them. Most of the people, well, we only had, well, no real complaints about it. Well, Dr. Stan back here, the last segment of our program, and our guest today is, of course, Craig Roberts. What was the, what you wanted, just, you had another answer for Mike.
Yeah, well, Mark was asking about why this administration wouldn't want to do anything about it. Let's jump back to about 1995, 1996, when I was working the case with the police department. I got a call from Arkansas, which isn't very far from where we are, and this guy said that he was a federal agent. He wouldn't identify the agency. But after working it for a while and the information he gave me, I kind of think he was either DEA or possibly IRS, that they had done an investigation on MENA, Arkansas, and that in that investigation they could tie the Clintons in, they could tie several of the big players in Arkansas in, a lot of friends of the Clintons, into this drug running that was coming out of Colombia. And that the records from that investigation, from the agencies that did the investigating, because the FBI and the CIA didn't investigate anything on this, when the Clintons moved to Washington, that they moved these records to the Murrah Building. Now, we weren't able to prove this, so this was information that came in that I tried to act on. But the problem was that on day one, and remember, day one of any incident is the most important one. If you see something happen on CNN on day one, turn on the recorder, because a lot of that stuff isn't ever going to see airwaves again. You won't see it the next day because they'll have washed it. But on day one in Oklahoma City, within an hour of the blast, which is at 9 o'clock in the morning, they pulled everybody back several blocks, even though we had people still trapped in the building. We still had people that wanted to go in there and continue to search. One fireman was up on the fifth or sixth floor and didn't get down, and he stayed there. And he watched what happened next, and they brought about 50 guys with blue raid jackets in that didn't have any letters on the back, so no one knows who they were. They brought in two military box ambulances. They backed them up to the building, and they carried boxes of files out from underneath from the basement of the building, and put them along with stretchers that had some ordnance on the stretchers. We were told they were missiles and stuff like that. We don't know what they were. But they were put on these two box ambulances and driven off. But we thought they probably went to Tinker Air Force Base, because that's where we think the ambulances came from. Later we found out that they went to the post office, which was catty corner across the street, and hidden in the back room behind a padlocked door. They didn't come back until day 10 to retrieve these records. Now, were those the records that this guy, this agent, this guy says he was an agent, were those the records of the Clinton drug running that ran all the way up to the Reagan administration, to George Herbert Walker Bush, or not? I don't know, because we never got our hands on them. But we do know this. We do know that the next 2 months, the Congress was going to have an investigation of Waco, an investigation of Ruby Ridge, and an investigation of MENA. And they did not have the MENA investigation because everything had disappeared.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so very much for being with us, Craig. It's always a privilege having you. We'll look forward to having you on one of our other programs here in the next day or two. Bye-bye, and God bless you.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay, fine. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, I just need to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we hope that many of you out there will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, and for a suggested gift of $20 or more a month, why, you'll get our four best tapes, you'll get our monthly newsletter, or you can simply subscribe to the newsletter by itself. But if you'd like to join, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, we hope that many of you will decide you're going to join and help us as we reach out across America to try to get the truth out, the things you're not going to get from Bill O'Reilly or from Rush Limbaugh or from, yes, even from Michael Savage. So if you'd like to give us a call, like to join our effort, you'd like to join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-MORE. And, of course, we hope that many of you will consider seriously joining. And, of course, we'll be back again tomorrow. And till then, may the Lord be with you. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
So, we were talking about going to war in Iraq, and China and all the other countries. If we go to war, do you think they'd start up the draft again?
Well, I hope and pray that they don't, but I'm concerned that, you know, they may.